Welcome back to Music's Journey podcast, where you can hear more about the artist, the band, the lyrics, and music. I'm your host, Kim Sear. Before I jump into the interview today with Featurette, this is a really important interview, and I'm really hoping that you guys can spread the word and the song and the brand new video called The Blame. So it's something that you're going to want to check out, so hopefully you guys can pass that along and add it to your socials. Really important message out there today about sexual abuse for younger kids as well as for adults and youth. So really important subject. There are a few things that I would like to go over before the interview. So if you enjoy today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the rating, the easier it is to find the show, and it really helps to grow the community that we are developing here. If you are someone who has recently found the podcast, welcome. We are really excited to have you on board, so please make sure that you subscribe and stay tuned to future episodes. Take a screenshot of this one and please attach it to your Instagram story and tag Music's Journey Podcast, Now and Then Magazine, and Featurette. We're really hoping that we can spread the word and stop the sexual abuse. Now here's my interview with Featurette.
My name is Lexi J. I'm from Featurette, and you're listening to Music's Journey Podcast with Kim Sear.
It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey Podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With our special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
This is such an important show today, with a song that comes along that grips your heart and soul like The Blame. And this is a new version. It's the second one that they've released, but I'm telling you, it's one you got to hear and you got to watch the brand new video that's come out. I can't begin to say how important it is to get this song out there and the message. So Lexi J is here on behalf of the pop duo Featurette. It's a really great song, and we're so excited to be able to have her to talk to today. It's haunting and it's very personal and such a beautiful story, and it's called The Blame, and this is the exposed version. So let's talk to Lexi J.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for talking about this important issue.
Well, you know what? I think it doesn't get done enough, and I used to do Never Be a Victim, and I did it for 10 years talking in the schools right on the subject.
Wow.
So I used to be on Court TV and City Pulse. You know, I did an awful lot of shows, you know, when it come to this subject. So I'm right here, right along with you and supporting you every step of the way.
Thank you. It's important work. It's not talked about enough. And I know there's so many things that have a stigma. There's so many issues to break down and tackle, but I think just one step at a time. And for me, this is that step. So,
well, we're going to go through it little bit by little bit so, you know, fans can have a better idea, because you've done some great, great songs. But this one, holy cow, it's haunting. It's very raw, very real. And congratulations for doing that, because that's the biggest step forward. That's the first step. Is loving yourself enough to say, you know what, I have my own voice and I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it my way. If it's going to come out, I'm going to say it my way. And it's something that too many people bury out of shame. It happens. It's the most horrific experience to have happen. I've been there. I was 16. You were 11 when this started, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 11 to 17. So yeah, the same time period. Yeah.
And this, it's so hard, because when you watch A Million Little Things, that's out right now, and they have this very subject line on. I don't know if you've seen that show.
I've seen part of it, yeah. I think I stopped at some point, and maybe that was apt, given the timeline.
yeah. So they're talking about that one, so they're bringing it out to the forefront, but it's great that you're able to use this platform to give yourself that voice, because so many people are waiting to hear that they're not alone. And, you know, that's the biggest part, you know, about this whole thing, is just being able to see, okay, you know what, I don't need to be ashamed to what's happened to me. It's not my fault.
Yeah, when I released this song, I wasn't expecting the sort of reception it got. Like, normally, there's, for other songs we've released, people are, you know, reposting and sharing everywhere, and it's very, like, loud and out. And then for this song, it was incredibly powerful, but in an introverted way. Like, my message boxes of all kinds were flooded with friends and even family and people I've known my whole life that came forward with these stories. And just out of the blue, even people that, you know, they're full grown adults now, and they're like, listen, I've never told anybody this, females, males, everybody in between. I've never told anybody this, but I have to tell somebody, and this is I felt like this was a sign. So I have all these new, I guess, secrets, but it's great in a way because it's so freeing for the people who've let them go, just like to have it leave their lips or in text or whatever, just to have that leave them and have them know that they're not the only one that's carrying this, I think is so beautiful and so powerful.
Well, this is the first time on air that I'm saying it too. And so your story moved me enough to do that. And this is the second time that a song has moved me this year. That's brought out stuff for me because we bury it so deep. And it's there, you know, it does affect us every single day. You know, it's just things that, you know, will come up. But I've seen a lot of women over the years when I was working with the victims special unit that, and young children, because most of it was kids that I dealt with. And, you know, it's usually somebody they know. It's usually somebody that's in the family or next door neighbor or a coach, you know, or, it's somebody that's what predators do. They're in those positions so that they are able to get to kids. But you know what? We keep it quiet because of that shame. And we keep it quiet for many other reasons that you go through emotionally. And it's not an easy thing to navigate when you're younger. And that's why it's done, right?
Absolutely. And I'm proud of you, Kim, for giving this away too and just making it yours and not letting that power lord over you forever. Because this is the work we need to do. I had a powerful image that came over me after releasing this, after taking on a lot of these stories from family and friends. It's sort of like the wound healed over. And at a certain point, you know, we grow up and we're like, okay, this is just what this is now. The pain dulls, or it's not moment to moment. It's like day to day or week to week or month to month, or just once in a while that these, you know, memories come back to haunt you. But then I think in making this piece, what I did was I sort of like cracked open the wound and cleaned it out so that it can actually properly heal now. Whether or not that happens is yet to be seen, because healing takes a really long time, of course, we all know. But I think that it's a really good first step, is just sort of like coming to terms with what's happened. I think everybody does that differently. I haven't seen a therapist for something like this yet, and everybody urges me to do so. My mind works differently, and I just don't see, without knowing the proper therapist, how that could be something that I would be open to. But I think that I sort of, in a way, made my own therapy as an artist and a musician. I put it all into this music video, into this song, so that I could give it away, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know what, it's like, for me, I was the same way. I didn't go and talk to anybody, but it's only like a few people just in the last couple of years that I ever spoke on the subject. And, you know, it's just in that trusted circle. But at the same time, you know what, releasing that burden, I think, is what you're feeling now. Like when you release the first version of this on Dream Riot, when you released that in 2020, right? That was your latest EP. It got the recognition, but again, it just wasn't enough. As you were saying, you needed to reapproach this one. And this one is just so haunting. You slowed it down and it has that heavy hitting music that we know and love with you so much. But to hear the second version of this, that stripped down version of The Blame, it's incredible. I got chills the moment I watched it.
And Charlotte Day Wilson really inspired the sounds for this one. Do you know her song Work?
Yes.
Yeah, like, of course, it's a completely different tone of project, but just like, I was just listening to the power of that piece, and I was like, I want that in my own way. I want to make that mark, so this is that for me.
Mm-hmm. But you're releasing the burden, right? When you're cracking it open, it's like an instant relief. It's because it's not a secret anymore, and it's not something you have to carry alone.
And the first version was, it honestly should never have come out that way. I didn't have, like, I have a hand in everything we do for this project. I'm not the singer for it. I'm the everything for it. I wear every hat, at least in some part. And the first version of Dream Riot, like, this is almost like ridiculous to say it out loud, but I wrote the words as poetry, and then I thought that would be enough to just bury it in a song, because every song we write obviously has meaning, and there's a motive for it, whether it's the environment or mental health or like the effects of social media or any of those things. Like, those are the issues we tackled in Dream Riot, because everything just felt so dissociative, and then we didn't realize, you know, stepping into the pandemic, like how much of this would ring true. And like, you know, the rest of the world took over, like Black Lives Matter movement, like all these other like more important things, the COVID-19 just like took over, and I didn't feel like being loud about what I was doing. I just sort of sat down and you know, took everything in and just waited for it all to pass. But when we wrote that first song, I didn't even write the track for it. If you listen to You Do You, which is a song that came out, like the last single for the album, I suppose, when we dropped everything, the track for The Blame is the same as the track for You Do You, because it was written for You Do You. It was like one of two options production-wise that I could have chosen from. And then I, you know, just in my head started singing the other song to it. And I was like, wow, that really works. So we're going to slap this song on top of this. It was like a Franken piece. And I think the reason why that happened is because like, I wasn't ready to address it like at all. I didn't want it to be real. I didn't want it to come out. It was just going to be an Easter egg just for me. And if you look at like even the plays on Spotify, like that song has no magic behind it. Nobody was attracted to that piece specifically. So many other tracks got the attention that they deserved. And that one just got swept under the rug. And that's exactly what I wanted. And I thought it would be enough. And then, you know, time passed and I told my parents and time passed and I told people that went to the same school slowly, like just one at a time. And then it bubbled to the surface and Factor came back because it was the pandemic and they realized all these artists with open JSRs like myself, like didn't have that full album cycle potential. Like it really, the pandemic really stomped on things. So they were like, here's some money for a music video. So we look back at our catalog and I'd done so many videos for Dream Ride. It's almost a visual album at this point because there's just so much video content for And that song didn't have anything. And that was the song that was the most radio friendly where, you know, our radio partners were like, okay, if we were going to do a campaign, this would be the one. So I was like, okay, this is my time. I'm going to do it. And we go forward and we're going to make a video for this. And I'm choreographing and I'm making props and I'm drawing up the treatment and the shot list and working with our director of photography, Ian McMillan, to like make this vision come to life. And we are 3 weeks out from shooting this and I discovered that I can't go through with it because I'm lying to myself about the actual music here. And that's the most important part.
Yep.
So I took it to my producer, my kosher, and I was like, listen, we need to start again. And John and I like worked furiously like day and night to pull this out of the bag. And I think we got the final like unmastered version of it to shoot to sing to on set the day before or something that, the day before we shot. It was the wildest experience, but I'm so glad we did it because like I'm dancing for the first time now with these moves I've choreographed to the music that means so much. And it was just such a powerful day.
Well, you know what? It is powerful for every one of us to watch. That's how on the money you did this, because when you're watching it, like to the set props, to the desks, to the lockers, to, you know, you got the, you know, oversized pencils that are on the floor around you, and you're sitting there with a cake, you know, that's got the age on there, so you can't help but clearly understand how old you were when this started. And, you know, wrapping yourself in the magnetic cassette tape and breaking free of that, it's just like, it's so powerful, so
visceral, right?
Yeah. brilliantly done. Like to your little hair clips, the butterfly hair clips, like it just, because it's an innocence that's taken, right? And being able to live that again in your own way, be able to say this your own way. And you express that with incredible artistry and vision.
Thank you.
And I know that you directed and produced this as well.
Yeah. To say I had a hand in every part of this would be an understatement with this specific piece, like even getting the venue and collecting the props from Facebook Marketplace because it's a global pandemic and there aren't any stores open to making them myself with like making those pencils out of stuff we found at Home Depot, like because that's the only thing we had access to. I needed to make it happen, and so I did. And like obviously I couldn't have done that without John's help, and we had a wonderful like on-set art director. She was just like my hands and my vision because I can't be the talent and moving things around all
exactly
of us.
Yeah,
Nicole Simmons, she was fantastic. And just the team that brought this to life, and like the lens with which Ian was able to capture my vision. Ugh. Like it was exactly what I wanted. I had some sketches drawn out for him, so he knew like the shots I wanted going in. And we just you know, it was going to be this simple thing where we were just going to do something pretty minimalist, and then we kicked it up a notch until there was like a boom crane shooting the pencils from over top. And like, it's everything I could have imagined without knowing what I needed, and I'm proud that it exists.
Well, we are too, and I'm happy for you when it comes to this, because so many people don't know how to deal with it. And you've sought that out through your writing and your artistry. To be able to use that platform is one thing for self-healing. But, you know, to be able to see this whole body of work come out for you and to see this video and the second version of this song, as I said, it's haunting, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful at the same time. And it's just watching you, you know, it's just like an opening. It's just hard to put into words for me, but I feel it with every inch of my being. Because
thank you so much. You're making me cry.
Well, you've given me that capability to be able to talk about it. And I never would have been able to talk about this. John can tell you that. I would never be able to talk about this, you know, when it comes to being on air. But you know what? You gave me that strength instantly. And I went, nope, got to do this. I need to talk to her. Let's do this. And you know what? I wanted to let you know you're definitely not alone. And so many of us have gone through this, but we've been silent going through the whole thing.
Oh. Thank you so much. This is so powerful. This is so incredible.
Yeah. So, you know,
I just hope that it reaches the people that it needs to find healing so that they know that they're not alone. I know it's not the first time anyone's doing this or the last, but it's my way and it's just my little contribution to the movement because there's too much suffering going unspoken and just putting it out there. Really, like if you're in like a privileged place like me where you're able to do so, where you feel safe enough that you could do so, then like I encourage you to tell somebody because you don't have to carry this alone. Tell me, tell anybody.
Yeah, it's important. And that's what, you know, I put on the piece prior to us starting the interview and making sure that people are sharing it and opening up and not to even hesitate. I've asked for them to put it on Instagram and to take a snapshot of this interview. And for them to...
Yeah, even if it's not something that's happened to you, like sharing this that isn't a declaration of anything from your past. Moreover, it's a declaration that you stand in solidarity with people that have been through this, which you could be standing beside somebody who's been through this right now and never know it
until
somebody comes forward and tells their story. So, yeah, it's affected a staggering amount of people.
Yeah, because I used to teach this in the school. They didn't want to start it in kindergarten. I said, but we have to. Because so many of the children are groomed at that age. And, you know, so many of the kids that go through it are, you know, being groomed at that time and prepared, you know, when they hit that age of 9, 10, and 11. It used to be one out of every three kids.
I was watching Amy Schumer last night. I think it was The Making of Amy or something like that. Mm-hmm. The documentary on her pregnancy. And A, it's beautiful. But B, there's this time when she talks about... you know, in school, like, okay, so the boy's being mean to you, he's teasing you, he's pulling your hair, and oh, it's because he likes you. And like that conditioning outside of grooming for, you know, women in particular to just be secondary or lower than or smaller than men is like so, like, it's ingrained in our society. It's just part of like what we are now. So, you know, to the little girls that have had this happen to them, like, I see you and I'm so sorry. And like, we can stand up together now. And like, it's more than just girls. It's happened to men too.
Oh, huge.
My inboxes have been open and it's everybody in between every walk of life.
Genre is no discrimination when it comes to this subject. And, you know, unfortunately it's happening in schools with school kids, you know, and unfortunately it happens with, you know, teachers present. And they don't even, you know, like...
At the hand of the teacher.
Yes, exactly. And it's just like, this is where I would sit, you know, and you know, when I get on, they'd call me back in to City Pulse to come in and, you know, some child had gone missing after this has happened. And it's like, this is when you guys call me in. You don't call me in when we can teach this and show, you know, the actual programs that kids can practice, you know, with family.
It's so reactionary. It's incredible. Yeah. There's, I learned yesterday that there's like a list in the at least in the TDSB teaching program. I think it's called like blue something, the blue list, blue sheets. I don't know, blue pages.
Yeah, blue pages. I think it's what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, and I hadn't heard about this before, and it's shocking. It's like a list of teachers that have done things to students, and the list exists. And some of these teachers are still teaching. They just moved them to a different school. And how is that okay?
Yeah.
And why is nobody talking about this? And is this not like something that should be on the news? Like, what is happening? So
I think
like people talking about it like we are right now, like the more light we can shed on this, the more we can start to do something about this, because it's wild that this continues. It's such a vapid pace, you know?
Well, you've said something really important, because this is what, you know, I used to talk about. It takes a community to stop this. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes your neighbors, it takes your friends, people that are in your family. You have to be able to talk about this. And if you don't open up the line of communication now as parents, you know, to be able to say if anything like this happens. And when I used to teach this, you know, my son had an experience, not to this degree, anywhere near this degree, but it was exposed to him. And he told me right away. And it was just like, that's what we had talked about. And it stopped it, you know, for him. And he wasn't ashamed. And he ended up going on Teen Beat, which was a show I used to do. And, you know, he talked about it. So he was on the panel and talked to, you know, the audience from his point of view. And that's what he saw in the schools that the teachers don't tell. Because if it's on school property, that's one thing. But they'll take kids that are in grade 3 and 4, and students will take them just off the property. And they used to call it the cage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And these are little kids. And it was just like, it just broke me. And I went, okay, that's it. You know, like I just got so fed up, you know, with what was going on in the schools, that it's just like, we have to take a stand when it comes to all this. And more we do it, you know, the more and more, you know, parents are going to have to face it. I think it's just when life gets so busy, when we are dealing with work and we're dealing with so many other issues, the moment people hear it, there's a stigma that goes to it. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. You know, that's going on in that home. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. They stay in their bubble.
Yeah.
And I'm calling everybody out that's sitting in that bubble. You know what?
I think the ignorance is bliss movement is long past. I think that there's this global awakening on so many different levels across so many different acts of everything, just everything in every way right now. People are being forced to open their eyes. And I think that this is just one of those things that we have to take with us. As much of a burden as it is, it's just, it was always broken. And so now we must fix it because we didn't do it before. And it has to start somewhere. So it starts like today.
Well, there's a very...
as soon as you're aware of it, it starts.
Well, there's a very famous producer, and she worked for CBC for a very long time. And she was just one of the top, you know, when it come to doing any kind of documentaries and stuff. And she came out after she had her baby boy, and then she had her baby girl second. And when she had her baby girl, all of a sudden she just, whatever it was in the hospital triggered, and she remembered, she buried it. And she didn't even remember it because it was that traumatizing for her. And it's called Only Nine. It's a very, very special story. You know, it's just like when you see that people can actually bury it and not even remember because it's just that bad. And then remember once they've had their child, and it's instinct to protect.
Yeah.
And she didn't know what that was until she started sorting through everything and working with a counselor and that's a therapist. And then she was able to remember everything that she had forgotten. And then that's why she decided to do the documentary. So
good for her. That's so amazing. I've actually been talking with a new friend who heard this song and saw the video and was so moved that he is going back now and like going through files with personnel at like a Radio Shack from whenever long ago, you know, when he was like 9. And they're going back and they're sort of getting papers and trying to figure out who his predator was so that he can take action, because the people, like, I don't know, he woke up to it because of this song. He never intended to do anything about this, and he wants to like make a documentary with me on this now, and he wants to move forward with this as like a whole new movement thing. So I feel super aligned with that. I'm going to go check that out right after this.
So we're going to play right now the haunting, raw, heartbreaking, stripped down version of The Blame Exposed, a testimonial of a victim of sexual abuse, right here on Music's Journey with Duo Featurette.
3 out of 10, do it again, maybe you'll come out in 4. Breathe in the pain, breathe it again, leaving your mess on the floor. Well, if you can't find love, you'll always have those years of keeping score. And if you don't look now, you will not get to see what lies in store. I take it all. Just like music, throw my life. should've known. Picked up the phone, maybe it wasn't my life. Well, if you can't find love, you always have those years of keeping score. Don't look now, you will not get to see what lies in store. I take it all up.
Powerful song. Now, that is the second version of that song, the exposed version of The Blame from Featurette, the electropop duo. Now, let's get back to Lexi J and our very special host for the Music's Journey podcast, Kim Sear.
When it comes to setting up this whole video, it just brought the story to light, but it brings everything to the forefront, and you just cannot miss. You cannot miss the message here. And I'm really hoping that the fans will listen and really dig in and talk about it is, I think, the biggest thing that we need to say. Ask a friend, you know, ask your closest group, you know, your girlfriends or your boyfriends, and, you know, everybody open up that dialogue, and you might be surprised in who might, like you just said, sitting beside you that has gone through this and didn't know how to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's really important. Now, you did the images of the paper airplanes, but it was ominous. It wasn't the same, like the whole feel with the tape and, you know, the birthday cake and the shattering of the glass, the words on the glass.
Every piece of the video that went into the, every piece of production that went into the making of this video, this, like, I'm going to call it art because that's what I feel that we were making as a whole, was very carefully curated, every aspect of it. So even it's in that opening scene there, of course, the desk, like I had that desk when I was a kid, not specifically that one, but that style. And it was like a mission to seek that out, but I felt it was important. Mm-hmm. And the lockers. And if you look at other Dream Riot music videos, or featurette music videos in general, but specifically Dream Riot, it's got this surrealist sort of dreamlike state. And I like to bring these elements of like larger than life to it, because my dreams are, they're actually not usually based in reality or this earth. I'm not sure why, but
you're an artist, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I mostly fly, but I think that I like the idea of like suggestion and the power of suggestion, and then having elements that are just way too much, way too big. Like I think in a million things, there's some really good imagery there, just of like, you're sitting on a bed, but you're sitting on a bed with a million teddy bears that are way bigger than you, just like things like that, where you take it to the nth degree. Right. Mm-hmm. And,
but that brings out the feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like for me, because I've been through it, I know exactly what you were going for.
So
and
this,
that's
so exactly,
why.
This was so much of that. So exactly. Yeah. It's not just one paper airplane. There's like six on the ground that are larger than life, and it makes me feel so small. And that's my inner child dancing around in an oversized t-shirt, making me feel small. And just a room of paper airplanes where one is cute and school and childish and all that, and or maybe it's carrying a note or a message, but all of them and pointing at the camera and like folding those myself and stringing them up myself, you mm-hmm. know, like that's a very different message. And it's
taking your power.
Literally sharp and literally poignant and may as well have been filled with names of people who were affected, you know?
Yeah.
The one that I'm holding, trying not to cry, hold it together, Lex. The one that I'm holding in the opening scene, I wrote his initials in it. So that for me is like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's giving not, your voice, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Hold on. Shake it off. Okay. We're doing great. the jogger suit that I'm wearing at the beginning too, like I wanted to keep, oh my gosh, this was a big piece of the puzzle. I wasn't sure how to incorporate fashion and like our modern aesthetic and all that into this piece because, you know, like I don't want to wear like little girls clothing. So the oversized t-shirt worked for that for one scene, but then what are we going to do for everything else? Right. So I was like, okay, if I was wearing something in general in this shot, here's what I'd be wearing. It's a jogger suit. But I worked with a costume designer, and I brought to her, her name's Barbara Rao. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. She teaches at Sheridan. I brought to her the idea of a see-through, translucent sort of a suit because I felt see-through. I felt invisible in telling my story until now. Like, I felt like I was completely, like, two-dimensional as much as could be. You know, and then this is sort of the real life iteration of that. So just like this, like nakedness, this exposure. Mm-hmm. I think that we aptly named it the exposed version because yeah. it couldn't strip down, acoustic, whatever you want to call it. But exposed is really what this is.
Exactly.
And then, you know, and then taking that forward into the magnetic tape and all that. And like, there's clearly a music message that is woven into these lyrics. Mm-hmm. It's in a few interviews, but I don't think I should say it out loud at this time. Anyway, but being wrapped up in this literal web of music that was created by this predator, you know, mm-hmm. scene in just the scene before, you know, a spider or like a snake, like nothing is majestic as a panther, but something lesser that creeps up on you, something like more exactly. underground, yep. you know? Mm-hmm. And I folded the origami for those predators and like think of the reflection that happened while that was going on, you know? Mm-hmm. So It was all incredibly personal, and I think that the crux of everything was breaking the glass. So John and I sourced special effects glass because we didn't want to, you know, actually hurt anyone on set. Mm-hmm. There were so few of us there because of COVID, so we needed to be maximum safe. But I got three chances to break the glass because breakaway glass pretty much it's designed to break. It breaks on its own, so it's really important that we had more than one in case something went wrong. So I had three sheets, which serendipitously were returned by another user in exactly the dimensions we wanted. Like, if that's not manifesting, I don't know what is, because I couldn't afford even one sheet, let alone three. So we got them at like a ridiculous price. Like, all was exactly where it was supposed to be, pretty much. And John built this awesome contraption to string them up so that we could hold them there and just have this like invisible barrier that I've created for myself just be mm-hmm. in front of me.
Yeah.
And then I get to dress, you know, fully formed in this like Grim Reaper style hooded badass outfit and take a sledgehammer to it. And on each pane of glass, I wrote a different message.
Yeah. It's very cool.
And they were all, yeah. And they were all, and I didn't even have to show them. Those were for me. They were all to the effect, you won't own up to what you did. So I'm taking the blame. I'm taking it on for both of us. I'm taking the blame for not having done anything sooner. And I'm freeing myself of this by creating this piece. So I shuttered them, and the room of, you know, all 10 people sounded like we were 100 people cheering because it was so cathartic. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Well, I am so proud of you because each and every piece of that, I caught every part of it. And it was just like, it's so, as I said, haunting and compelling are the two words that just come to me. You know, it's just, it's breathtaking, you know, to see the artistry that you put into this, the lyrics. I know that it was difficult when you wrote this and you're singing it. It's one thing in the first version, but when you did it the second time, you slowed this down and you're seeing the second take of this, the exposed version of this song. It is just so, it's so moving. There's just I can't even put it into words. I don't even have one that describes how well you did this.
You know what it is? It's that it's real.
Yeah.
I think until recently, actually, a big theme in our art was masks. Every piece we've done so far in Dream Ride had had masks in it, and I think it's a testament to, in my dreams, a facelessness, a sense of facelessness that I always see, or don't see, for that matter. And this was the first time when there's no masks and there's nobody else but me. It's just you're alone and you're confronting this. And I think for our project, it's like we've done that. Like I've taken off the mask. Like everything I make from here on out will be viewed with a lens of reality in a way, even if it's surreal and all that. Like I think like I'm not afraid anymore.
Good for you.
I say through tears, but like that's who I am. I'm not afraid anymore to show my art for what it is.
And you know what? You're beautiful, girl, inside and out, and you're very special to me.
Oh, thank you, Kim.
You know, beautiful soul. You know what? You're breaking down barriers, and that's what this is all about. You know, we have to. We got to take the power back in our own lives. We have to be able to step forward and say, no, not this time. And we have to take that back. And that's what you did here. And that's breaking down those barriers that are going to ring around the world. Because right now, with the pandemic, you're seeing so much abuse that's going on. Domestic abuse to, you know, intimate partner abuse to sexual abuse. It's hard right now. So this couldn't be a better time, you know, for this song to come out. I know it's difficult to even say that there's a perfect time for this, because there never is, but...
No, I was just going to say, I'm so glad you think so, because, like, I just can't imagine that any time would be the right time,
but I guess that
means every time is the right time. As soon as you're able, it's the right time, right?
Yeah. The faster we say something and have that courage to do it, so many children are threatened. I've seen it all unfold. I've been there when people have told the truth when they're younger, and, you know, I've been there through every part of it, and it's heart-wrenching, you know, how many people it affects. And it affects the people that are around you. It affects John. Right?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, he's the one that you have to feel safe with, and, you know, feel that support and that love to know it's okay to talk about it. But, you know, it's just an amazing journey that you're on right now. The vulnerability is going to be there in everything you write from this point forward in a different way than what you've done in the past. You're so amazing for everything that you've written up to date, but now it's going to open up a whole new floodgate of being able to put things down on paper so much easier.
Oh yeah. Thank you, Kim. And thank you for the work you've done in the community too. Like it's just so inspiring to see that there's like a force of people, even if they're scattered, that are moving forward with these ideals, because this is how change starts. It doesn't matter if abuse is happening to you in a big way or a small way. It doesn't matter if it happened once or over a period of years. It matters that you stand up for yourself and say something if you're in a position to do so that you can feel safe again and you can feel whole again and you can, you know, find the help that you need.
Well, I'm hoping and praying that we have some adults that are going to listen to this, that are going to turn around and say, okay, I need to sit down with my kids. I need to open up the dialogue, and they need to do it as young as kindergarten, and they need to be able to talk about bad touch is bad touch. You know, what good touch is, what bad touch is. We need to start there with younger kids and letting them know what an appropriate hug is and what a non-appropriate hug is. Start there. Give them something simple they can understand and just reinforce, hey, come to me. You know, if something's bothering you, there's an open dialogue that can happen there. And I always did it with a 4-foot Russ Bear is what I did in the schools. And I put the t-shirt on and, you know, the shorts on, the bear, and that's how I was able to do it. But I think it's just going through it visually with a young child, you know, and being able to say it in a way that kids can understand, at the same time letting them know that somebody that may touch you inappropriately might be somebody you do know. I had to hold up pictures. And that's what I would tell parents to do. Hold up pictures, grab a magazine. Is this person a good person? Is this person a bad person? And then that way they understand. You need to be able to have that open dialogue where the questions are there that the kids can ask on their own and not feel uncomfortable doing so. And I think as soon as you do that, kids are going to step forward a lot quicker before something more serious happens, right? Mm-hmm. Good job, girl. Good job. So I am so proud of you. So we're just going to ask the fans to blast The Blame, and that's by Featurette. So we're so excited about this song and this video. So stream it on your platforms, your socials, and don't forget to call out your local radio stations and request The Blame. So don't forget to also check out The Blame Exposed version. The powerful video is something you're not going to want to miss. It shines the light on youth sexual abuse. Keep the dialogue going, and that's what we're looking for right now. What do you have coming up for songs this year, and how has this experience changed how you're approaching your music today?
For songs this year, I'm not positive that there are any coming up this year. I think it's more of a next year thing. John and I have written an entire other album while the pandemic was happening. So we are moving forward with those dependent on a few variables. We're hoping to kick up the band a notch as far as funding, let's put it that way.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of like tricks up our sleeves. We might throw some bones here and there as far as some more acoustic versions. I really wanted to record, in opening up about The Blame, I really wanted to record acoustic versions of the other songs, because I think that we were trying to be a certain way, and we are that way for sure. Like, this, the kind of music we were making on Dream Riot is just so, but I think we were pairing really powerful messages with like really like awesome songs in a way that didn't click, perhaps. Mm-hmm. At least for me, I want to like take those things apart and be like, wait, actually, here's the message too, because I think a lot of that was maybe missed. And maybe that was intentional, as I mentioned before, and broke down a little bit for you guys. But I think that I wanted to record an acoustic version of this album. So if that's something that we have the time to do, you know, while also trying to make a living, because we're still trying to get to that point where we're full-time musicians.
I hear you. Yeah.
That is a struggle and a half, and it is the dream. So we're working toward that goal. We're fortunate to be working with our publicist now at CCS Rights Management. They are fantastic people. They're a publisher, sorry. And they've been hooking us up with all different kinds of artists. So we're writing for other projects now, and other people are writing with us that we would never have had access to before. So there's some really cool stuff being made, some really cool, honest stories being told, that maybe like not everything needs to have this much gravity to it as far as the material that we're putting into it, because that would be exhausting. You can only come out with a song like The Blame every so often. While I want to continue to tell powerful stories, I want to tell a little bit more just about my life in general. It's like interplay between different relationships and stuff, like moments that I found were interesting, because what Featurette is, it's a band of moments. It's a band of making vignettes and turning those into music videos and like living in whatever that moment is and getting that, catching that vibe, right? So I think
it'd be so good to see, you know, a snippet, you know, of you and John. A song based on the love and the understanding.
I've written that song. So actually, I wrote our origin story. It's called Stay for the Summer. It's such a great song. I can't tease this. I'm not supposed to do this, but
oh, come on.
You don't own me. it's very cool. It's like a millennial view of, even Xenial. I think it's even younger than millennial, the view of like two people meeting in the summer and both parties being like, you know, stay if you want to, but like really what the feels are underneath that, like how desperately they are just magnetic to each other, just drawn to each other. So it's like our Bandcamp origin story, and I think it's really cool that that exists, at least in my hard drive.
Well, that one, you're gonna let me know, right?
Oh yeah, these next, like, honestly, the stuff we've been doing since then has been, I can't even really describe what happened, but it's like I was like uncorked after making The Blame. It's like, oh, you were hiding the whole time, and like that like X Factor thing you need to like succeed as a musician. Like, oh, you didn't have that because you didn't have any confidence in yourself, and now like I am here.
Yes, you are
ready to do it. Like, I am ready to not be mysterious and worry about what people think about me and just put it all out there. You know, so that's,
you know,
the
what
kind of music we're
that's,
making right now.
That's that beauty of your artistry that you just need to let fly.
Yeah.
Don't worry about anything else. Just let it fly.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Another song we made is called Next Life. And it's about fucking up this life and trying to do better in the next life. And like, that message could not hit harder with me after going through this pandemic. I have gone into like a spiritual awakening maybe my next life I can live my best life is sort of what that song's all about.
It's a cleansing, right?
Yeah.
It's a cleansing.
But, like, the ironic part is, like, now that I've done these cool things, like, I don't feel that way at all. Like, I feel like I'm already living my next life, like, right now. Like, I feel like this is, like, chapter two, and I'm here for it, you know?
You might not even realize it, but you are. You've already started. The moment you did this, you started.
Yes. You don't have to die to live another life.
That's
you just have to agree to be that person. Like, I'm a new person now. If you knew me before, you're going to have to come re-meet me because I'm not the same as I was, you know?
Well, it's all about having your voice now and remembering self-love and allowing yourself to feel what you're feeling. Don't stop it. Feel it.
Yeah.
Let yourself work through it. Walk through that door, but you walk through it with empowerment now.
And if you're so privileged to be an artist, channel it, you know, like, why not put it into your art, make something that's real. Don't worry about, like, what things should sound like, worry about what they do sound like, and, like, listen, like, spend time listening to yourself.
Because you hear it on the radios all the time, like, when you're, I know you guys hear it, when you're trying to put your music out there and present it to the radio stations, you do have to worry to a degree to, you know, what the radio wants to put on there, but the lesson here is, and all the bigger artists will tell you, as they went down the line, they regret not putting out a lot of their music that they really felt powerful about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm living that journey for real. And I honestly, like, that's probably the thing that we needed to push us over the edge of any sort is, like, that real thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you worry so much about, like, curating, but then you're chasing. You're chasing these sounds that already exist for artists that have already made it and, like,
You're
not making your own mark. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so you
gotta be you.
Even if I'm only doing this for me, even if nobody ever hears it but me and Kim.
Well, no, they will. Trust me. So this is your new legacy. And I am so proud of you and what Featurette has done, taking the stand with music, but at the same time, having the guts to do it. And, you know, there's so many other artists like Demi Lovato, like so many people, you know, are coming forward.
I was going to say, like, exactly, Demi Lovato is doing this now. It's so cool. It's so cool to just have her vulnerability out there. It gives people like me courage to do something like this. And, like, I think also, like, we get this sensationalized idea that, like, oh, a celebrity can do that because, like, they've made it. They've made it to the point where, like, they can, like, expose themselves and tell their story. So what you have to do is, you know, curate your image until you make it, and then you can tell your story. No. I
don't, but it's not just that.
So many years.
It's not just that. They're being pushed to a degree for a long period of time to what suits radio. And, you know, it's just being able to come out with your own tune. It's the fans now. And I think that's the difference between digital marketing now and where it was 10 years ago. Because today, it's the fans that are making the choices on Spotify and all the streaming platforms like Apple Music and whatever's being purchased and shared. Those are the awards that are out there right now. So it's changed. Now it's in your ballpark. It's now in the fans. So it's in their hands. So it's radio's one part of it, but it's not all of it anymore.
Yeah, I think there's so many different ways in. Like, for us, like, we've had extreme success relative to the lack of fame of our project. We've had extreme success in the sync world and just, like, getting music out that way. Like, we just, a song from Crave, our first album was on Ginny in Georgia recently.
I know.
Like, that's a big deal. Yeah. And, like, I hadn't watched the
Kim's
show when
convenience.
I learned it was going to be on it. I know. So I hadn't watched the show when I learned that it was going to be on it. And then, like, you know, I wake up one morning and I'm like, oh my God, like, we have so many, like, triple the listeners we ever had on Spotify. Like, that's wild. Like, what happened last night? Oh, looks like Ginny and Georgia came out. I should probably watch that. And I did. And the show was amazing. And the song was at, like, the pinnacle of their love scene. And I was like, holy crap, like, this is it. So,
see?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Your music speaks for itself.
Exactly. And if I can do that while I was, like, unlearning how to be an opera singer and, like, learning how to use my voice in a pop way, which was, like, not an easy process, let me tell you. If you worked your entire life to have vibrato and work without a mic, and then, like, a few months later you graduate from U of T and you're like, okay, what's this microphone? I've never done this before. Right? Like, it was really hard. And I didn't realize how hard that was going to be, like, having that pop aesthetic. So if I can do that then, like, I can...
There's nothing stopping you. There's nothing stopping you to be exactly what you want to be. But the thing is, the beauty of all this is where you are now, you're just starting to learn. You're just starting to learn what you are capable of. And that's
the thing. I feel like I've been reborn. Like,
yeah, it's like a butterfly.
This new thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm so excited for you. You know, it's just an amazing body of work that you've done. But you know what? Putting the spotlight on this topic is so important. And I'm so grateful that you've brought it to the forefront. Congratulations for both you
Thank
and John.
You. Thank you so much. Because like, it hasn't been easy for this project, this the BLAME project. Like, it's not been an easy road. Like, the people who have supported us, like IndieADH has put us on your first listen yesterday, which is like huge. That's a big deal.
That's amazing.
And we've been on there before, but like for something like this, like that's like a really big deal, because it means they believe in it. They believe in us, right? So yeah, I think we've had radio partners in Calgary. Numbers are hard. I'm dyslexic. My name is Lexi. Welcome to my nightmare.
You and I are so much alike.
It's Matt Berry's exposure show. He put us on there, and it's just like, it's so amazing that like people, like you can see who the crusaders are. And I think that that's beautiful. And
it is.
That vulnerability is like something that people are tuning into now and aren't so afraid of. And like, I'm happy to be part of that movement. I'm proud to be among the people who are going to bat for things like this. So,
well, you know what, as I said, I'm so proud of you and so proud of the song and everything that you've done, but this is just incredibly moving. I can't wait to see what you do next.
I'm blown away by this whole interview. I'm sorry. I cried my way through half of it. I was like, please, pull your pants up, Lex. What are you doing? This is too much. Stop sweating. Jesus. Oh, it doesn't get easier when it feels that real, you know? Like, it's definitely been easier for, like, other interviews that are a little more surface, a little more, like, the standard questions. But you have a beautiful way of speaking and storytelling, and I just love knowing that you know. You know,
I do. And as I
said, begin to cry again.
Well, you know what? We're developing that relationship and be friends, okay? And we'll
all
share.
All for it.
Yeah.
All for it.
We will share.
When you guys are back in Toronto, I would love to connect some way if that's possible.
Absolutely. I'd love to meet you both. John and I both would. Tell everybody where they can reach you, what your socials are, and what's the best place to hear anything for Feature Up.
You can stream us Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you listen to music, Deezer, any of those places. And on almost every social channel, I believe we're at Featurette Music. So our Instagram, for example, at Featurette Music. And then if you go there, there's a link in bio to absolutely everything else.
Okay. I've asked also during the podcast here for fans to attach a tag when it comes to the BLAME. That way, anytime we're seeing that, if you can give them a note, or I'll give them a note, and, you know, thank them for coming and sharing your story.
Okay, that's amazing. The current hashtag we're using for the BLAME is just literally hashtag the BLAME. It had like less than 100 posts when I found it originally. So I think if we all start blowing that up, I think most of us will all be in the same channel. And of course, my DMs are always open. If anybody needs to share anything, whether I know you or not, I'm the one who manages it, and I will be there to listen.
Oh, that's amazing. And I think that's just an incredible amount of love that you're giving back. And that's what we're asking from everybody else. It's just, you know, you might not know that, you know, it could be a sibling. It could be your best friend. It could be somebody that's in your circle. And, you know, you just never know, but opening up that dialogue allows that person to know it's safe, that people are willing to listen and looking at sexual abuse in a lot different way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to this as a result.
And that's great. Yeah. So you know what? Let's do it. So we're going to put that out on blast. All right.
Thanks, Kim.
So
thanks,
thank
John.
You again.
Have a great day.
Yes, you too. And you know what? Keep up the good music and come back, and we're going to have
keep
you back
up the
on.
Good work.
Yeah. You know what? We're looking forward to it. Okay, hon?
Anytime. Thank you.
Give Talk John soon. Our love. Okay.
Thanks, Lexi.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. It's up to you, fans, to blast out the BLAME by Featurette and to put it onto all your streaming platforms, your socials, and don't forget to call your local radio station and request the BLAME. Make sure that you pass this on. So if it's a circle of friends, whether it's your boyfriends, your girlfriends, just your group, your social group that you're hanging out with, let's shine the spotlight on this subject for youth and sexual abuse and keep the dialogue going. So you might not even realize that the person sitting right beside you might have been going through this or still going through it and need somebody out there, because there's a lot of stigma that goes along with something like this, and it can change somebody's life. So reaching out and being that friend and just opening up that dialogue, you'd be surprised at what comes out. So don't forget, Kids Help Phone is a wonderful resource for victims of and survivors of sexual abuse. You can call them at 1-800-668-6868. You can also text 68686. Adults can text 741-741 to get the resources in your area. So keep the dialogue going. Give survivors and victims of sexual abuse a voice now. Self-love and empowerment is the new legacy, and that's what we're pushing for with this one right now. So I'd love to thank Lexi J for coming on. She is one half of the electropop duo of Featurette. So incredible work they're doing. You can truly be an inspiration today. So get out there and help us to spread the word. And thank you once again for tuning in and listening to Music's Journey podcast. I'm Kim Sear. I love to be able to have you guys back. We've got some amazing podcasts that are coming up for you with Jason Blaine. We've got Renegade Station. Annika's going to be here. Danny Doucette. Dan Davidson, Jamie Warren, Kaya's going to be here as well. And we have Mac London, Weapons, Civilian, and we have so many more coming up. Boy, we can't keep up with them. So I'm really hoping that you'll come back and stay tuned to our future episodes. Don't forget to take a snapshot of the episode and make sure that you attach a tag to it for Music's Journey Podcast and Now and Then Magazine and Featurette for their great work in bringing this story to the forefront. And this is a true story, so it's a pretty amazing, moving experience to be able to be a part of this. So thanks once again. I am Kim Sear, your host here on Music's Journey. Stay safe.
Once again, a great big thank you to Lexi J of the electropop duo Featurette for joining us and chatting with us today on Music's Journey. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, Player FM, Deezer, TuneIn, Alexa, Podcast Addicts, Podchaser, Pocket Cast. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey. We'll be right back.